Welcome back to Pod 3 here on the Blue Blood Podcast. Here we'll be recapping some of yesterday's game, Gonzaga versus UNC, Kansas versus Villanova, and Kentucky versus Utah. And we'll be previewing the Duke versus Texas Tech game and talking about if Duke and UNC would play today. And we'll finish off the show by doing our Blue Blood Power Rankings. I will start off by recapping the UNC versus Gonzaga game, where UNC won 103-90. Brady, give us your thoughts on last night's game.
Well, Carolina, when Cam Johnson plays like Cam Johnson, looks pretty good. I thought this would be pretty much the outcome. I knew Carolina was going to win because of the home crowd, and that just gave them the energy. But Coby White looked good. But really, Gonzaga played bad. Like, they didn't play great. And Carolina capitalized off of a lot of Gonzaga turnovers and mistakes. And it was just not a great game for Gonzaga. But I don't want to take anything away from Carolina. They played really well. And I think they are going to get a lot of people talking the usual, hey, Carolina's here this year. Into ACC. ACC's going to bring a lot of people down, but I think a game like this, showing what Carolina can do to an opponent, and then when you get to the ACC schedule and they play an average ACC team and lose, yes, that shows the strength of the ACC. But just on the game, I thought Coby White was a big impact, and really Cam Johnson was Carolina's best player.
Right. Okay. BK, any thoughts on the game?
Just to add to Cam Johnson was lights out. I mean, part of that had to do with Gonzaga giving them just wide open looks, too much ball movement by Carolina, and too many. Really, the biggest takeaway I had was second chance points. I mean, Gonzaga got out rebounded. UNC doubled Gonzaga's rebound, 42-21, and second chance points. I think towards the end of the game, I saw it was like 23-0 UNC, and that's the game right there. I mean, UNC only ended up winning by 13, which is, of course, a good margin, but those second chance points played a big factor into that. And somebody who I thought was really sneaky good, didn't really seem to make that much of an impact, was Luke May. I mean, coming in and putting up 20-16, that was huge for UNC. And I'm not the biggest May fan, but he played an incredible game going against a team that doesn't really, you wouldn't think he would have been out there much, honestly. I don't think he started the game, and I can't remember if he did or not, but it was just, he came out there and he really, against a small ball lineup, he moved his weight out there, played a good game.
All right. G-Stash, anything to add?
Yeah, just to follow up, if Carolina shoots the three ball good, they can beat anybody. And even though they don't have the best bigs to say like they have in the past, if they rebound like they did, as Blake said, they doubled what Gonzaga did. So if they rebound like that and shoot, it'll be tough to do it for multiple games, but they can make a late run in March.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think overall it was a game where two defenses that are not the best. I think most people expected a high-scoring affair, especially two teams that have kind of the offensive background they've started out with this season. And I think overall it was a game where most people thought UNC would come out with a win.
And I think what BK said, not even knowing if Luke May started, I think that explains his season so far. He's been pretty much non-existent. And to play against Norvell, he's been filling Tilly's role very well. And to do that, I think it was really good. And they really held Rui Hachimura in check, too.
Yeah, and I think another player that may not show up as one of the key players is, Cam Johnson and Luke May was Seventh Woods, who really gave a huge impact to finish the first half. Roy kind of took out some of the guys. Luke May got a couple fouls. He had to go sit down. Coby White made a couple questionable turnovers. And Seventh Woods came in and provided an 8-0 run by himself to finish the half and kind of keep that lead that they had, throughout the first half, and really did a good job, especially on defense against Perkins. Okay. And now moving on, we'll be recapping the Kansas and Villanova game. Brady, any thoughts?
That was a very competitive game. Although I felt like Kansas could have put them away if they wanted to. They just kind of let Villanova hang around. But I thought Villanova played well for one of the few times this season. And I just feel Booth is very, very good. Hit a clutch three to really extend the game. I mean, that last minute was a good last minute. You know, it could have been put away, but Kansas made a lot of stupid mistakes. And throughout the first half, could have really put Villanova out. And they never did. They let them keep hanging around. And then towards the end, Villanova had a chance. If something, one more thing went their way, they would have won that game.
Gotcha.
And I think that says a lot. I mean, Kansas should be worried how their failure to put opponents away. But then you look at Vic, and he had 29. I mean, Vic was...
It's a big time.
Yeah, and Didrick Lawson had 28. So, I mean, those two players, you know, we debated them on the last podcast. They're about equally as important to Kansas on a night like last night.
Exactly. BK, any thoughts on the game?
Just one thing I really took away from the game is Dedrick Lawson and LeGerald Vick really establishing themselves as one of the two most dynamic duos, one of the best dynamic duos in college basketball. I mean, combined for easily over half of Kansas's points. And LeGerald Vick, coming up to the week leading up to the game, he actually hadn't watched a replay of last year's Final Four between the two teams. And he said that they watched it all week and that it was painful for him, he said, but I'm sure that motivated him to go out there and give it his all, and he did with 29 points, and just he came up big. Also had three threes, got to the line 10 times, made 8 of those, had 7 rebounds. I mean, he played a great game. And Dedrick Lawson, of course, always going to show up, 12 rebounds, 28 points. I mean, it's hard to ask for a better stat line in college.
Yeah, I think overall it was obviously a close game with Kansas winning 74-71, and at times it showed Kansas looking like one of the best teams in the country, and other times they kind of were non-existent on offense, going with stretches, with droughts and different things like that. And overall, it was a good win for Kansas at home. Next, we'll be doing a quick recap of the Kentucky versus Utah game, where Kentucky prevailed 88-61 with Keldon Johnson leading the way with 24 points. It was a good bounce back win after losing to Seton Hall. And it was a good win before the UNC game, and it kind of showed what Kentucky's capable of with their 3-point shooting and their offensive rebounding with PJ Washington and Reed Travis. And I think this is a game where they came out and played well.
But I think many people expected that. I mean, Utah is sort of down, even for their program standards this year. And Kentucky has yet to play to Kentucky standards, and they still don't have that sick win.
Right. And after we come back, we'll be previewing the Duke versus Texas Tech game and talking about if Duke and UNC played today at a neutral site, and we'll end the show with our Blue Blood Power Ranking.
All right, we're back here on the Blue Blood Pod. We're going to start this segment off by talking about the preview of the Duke Texas Tech game coming up on Thursday. Brady, you being a resident Duke fan in the circle, what do you have to say about it?
I think it's going to be a good game. It's a true neutral court game for Duke, and you know, a lot of people like to talk trash about them not playing them true neutral court games, and they're playing one up there in Duke North. But I mean, Texas Tech's a good team. They haven't played very stiff competition though, and Duke's played a lot of good teams. I think Duke's gonna win. I don't think it's gonna be a blowout by any means, but a good solid double digit win Duke's way probably. Texas Tech's got some good players and they're very athletic, but I mean, are they Zion Williamson athletic? You know, no.
Yeah. Awesome. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a good game against, you know, two Power 5 teams. two teams that are, you know, top 15 in the nation, two teams that have a lot of talent. And I think it's going to be a game that provides Duke a good pre-ACC test before, you know, they enter play, starting off with Clemson. And especially they have guys like Culver, who can, you know, absolutely shoot the ball and score. But he'll be tested himself going up against the athletes that Duke has. And we'll see, you know, how good of a Texas Tech team that is undefeated, you know, with their schedule they've had all year. And we'll see what happens.
I think it'll also be a big game for Cam Reddish, who has been non-existent, to see how he responds coming off a decent game and how he does against Princeton, because they play Princeton Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's been pretty much since Kentucky, well, really since the Auburn game. I haven't heard much out of him, so
yeah.
It's time for him to turn it around.
Yeah.
Yeah, for this game, I've got a key X factor, obviously, Jarrett Culver. I mean, the lead man for Texas Tech, he leads him in points, rebounds, and assists. He's just, he really does everything out there on the court for him, shooting 45% from three. I mean, he can really drain it, but he's going to be really tested against, I feel like, R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish. You know, two bigger guards than him. I mean, you could even say Reddish is a forward. I would. And so it's going to be tough for him to – it'll be interesting to see how he matches up with that length, because Texas Tech right now, they currently have the best defensive team in the nation, but going against Duke, one of the top scoring teams in the nation, averaging almost 95 points a game, and considering Texas Tech, the schedule they've played, really best team they've played so far, I'd have to say USC, and they're obviously in a down year. I mean, not even ranked, so – I've got Duke winning a pretty good. I agree with Brad. Got a good double-digit win. But it'll be a good test for Texas Tech, and if they can pull this one out, you've got to start looking at them as legitimate contenders. I mean, they have two good players, because you got to throw Tariq Owens in there, 2.7 blocks a game, a good big for them. I think Duke pulls this one out, too athletic and too fast.
I agree with you.
All right, so wrapping up that segment, let's go to Carolina Duke hypothetical, neutral court game. And this is if they were playing right now. So no growth during the season, no nothing like that. We're just looking at it if they were to play a neutral court game right now. What do you got, Austin? Let's hear it from the UNC fan.
All right. I'd probably give the edge to UNC right now by getting a couple of looks by some of the Dukies beside me, but by a couple points, just with their veteran players, I think that would, in a close game like that, that would lead the way, who has experience in tight games. I think, you know, when you look, Duke probably has the more talent, but at the same time, UNC has talent and veterans, and I think it would be a really close game right now, and a high-scoring game at that.
I tell you, to go back to the UNC talent, I do. I mean, UNC has the veteran leadership, but, I mean, there's obviously a talent deficit when you look at UNC and Duke, in my opinion. I mean, you've got the top three recruits in the nation who have, I mean, especially Zion and R.J. Barrett have just been playing lights out. I mean, R.J. Barrett's not quite – he hasn't had the field goal percentage that some Duke fans would hope for, but Zion has been absolutely killing it. And I just don't see anybody – on UNC's team really being able to stop Zion. I don't see Luke May or Cam Johnson really being quick enough. And I don't see a smaller player on UNC being able to match up with the physicality of Zion.
Well, we hear it every year, you know, oh my gosh, Duke has the greatest, basically, basketball gods on their team. They're the Monstars, and this is every year. And Carolina, they still find a way, you know, like last year, beat Duke 2 out of 3. I think it would be a game where Carolina could win.
2015, that wasn't the case. Just want to throw that at them.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, it's a different year every year in college basketball, especially for Duke. I mean, they basically have definitely a whole new starting five every year, just about. And, I mean, basically a whole new team every year, except for some veterans and some role players that come off the bench for them. So
yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. You know, they lose all their players and get, like, 4 or 5, you know, top players in the country. It's really tough for them. You know, you hate to see it. You know, NBA bound after a year. It's tough.
What do you think, Brad? What's your take on this hypothetical game?
I don't think it's close, because, you know, you don't get that Roy Williams year long development, you know, that Carolina team will need come March. you know, right now, I mean, the matchups, it's Coby White is a great scoring guard. Trey Jones is maybe the best defensive player, maybe in the whole entire NCAA.
Puts in effort. Excuse me.
I mean, he steals the pressure of the ball. I'm not saying he's going to shut down Coby, but it's going to slow him down.
Yeah, yeah.
Kenny Williams and Cam Reddish, I mean, obviously, who has the brighter future in basketball? Cam Reddish.
Are we talking about the game now? Kenny Williams
is a solid player. I think Cam Reddish is better.
About the present.
And then you move on to the small forward. I mean, RJ, who's guarding RJ on Carolina? But that's not even the big question. The big question is, who's going to guard Zion?
Who's going to guard Zion?
Who is going to guard Zion on Carolina? Nassar Little is big enough, not quick enough. Garrison Brooks is not going to guard Zion. Luke May is not going to guard Zion. Who's going to guard Zion? Cameron Johnson? He's too small. I mean, what matchups are you looking at to give Carolina the edge? I mean, seriously.
I just think they're shooting.
Oh, yeah, Duke can shoot. Look at what Duke did in Kentucky. They can shoot.
Yeah, one gig. I'm just saying.
Carolina's shooting has been consistent this year.
I'm not saying that. But oh, okay. When Duke and Carolina plays, you can throw out matchups. You can throw out everything. It's Duke and Carolina.
But it comes down to skill, obviously. Yeah, it's Duke and Carolina, but the better team is usually going to win.
As a Duke fan, I will say Carolina does have the better three-point shooting team overall. Yes, they do. I think that's obvious this year, but I think the main thing that Carolina has to focus on is who is going to guard Zion, because if Duke is smart, they run their offense through Zion. Not R.J. Barrett, but through Zion. Mm-hmm. Because if you have Zion catching it at the free throw line, it's going to open up so many different stuff. Then you're going to have to worry about Duke's three-point shooting. Then you're going to have to worry about fouls, you know, all things coming in effect when you go through Zion. So, I mean, he's a...
Well, it's not a game. It's not a game for Garrison Brooks. It's not a game for Marquise Bolden. You'll see minimum of both of those.
Yeah.
As long as Duke goes small, Carolina will have to match it. Same though with Carolina.
I think another thing Carolina has to focus on, and I think Roy Williams is smart enough too, but if they can get Duke in foul trouble, they got a really good chance to win.
If Roy Williams is smart, he goes zone.
I tell you what, I want to go back to something Austin said earlier about how Carolina won 2 out of 3 last year, despite, you know, I feel like a talent deficit for, obviously, Duke had more talent last year. What we didn't have last year was a mediating, calm, and in-control point guard.
Oh, yeah.
And this year, I mean, last year that we won it, 2015, what do we have? Tyus Jones. What do we have this year? Tyus Jones 2.0, Trey Jones. I mean, this man, I mean, I think he's second in assist-to-turnover ratio in the nation. As a freshman, he's played, what, 8, 9, 10 games? How he's controlling the game out there is just, I think he sets apart Duke from the past 2 years, where they've had good talent, but they haven't necessarily had the on-court leadership. And Trey Jones, I feel like, brings that. And he really brings that five together, especially that starting freshman five,
I mean, like, unlike last year, he's the glue. I mean, RJ and Zion, they can just do their thing. And if they start messing up, Trey Jones is there. Look, guys, he's the controller of it all, you know. Mm-hmm.
And from the Carolina fan, who guards who, in your mind? If this game was tomorrow, who guards who?
Well, I think Carolina is going to try to do – I think what they should do would be kind of like a zone, but also maybe a trap to kind of get Duke kind of out of their rhythm. And then if they did go man, I would obviously probably go small and put Coby White on Trey Jones, Kenny Williams on Reddish, Cam Johnson on R.J. Barrett.
Big height difference right there, by the way. Williams and Reddish.
Yeah. I mean, Kenny Williams, he's about 6'4.5", and yes, he's giving
Reddish
up
is about 6'8",
three,
6'9".
3 inches, yes.
But we would see Cam Reddish doing something that he hasn't done all year, and that's drop the ball a lot.
But so, he can finish. He can finish.
But that would be something different that we'd see.
And probably Cam Johnson on R.J. Barrett. Let's see. And with Carolina going small, they put Nassir Little on Zion Williamson.
I just don't think he's not quick enough. He's big enough. He's not.
Well,
quick
I mean
enough.
I think that is your best bet. I think you.
Oh, Little. You got
to definitely
in there. Yeah.
Have to play Little on Zion instead of May.
They
you have to do that.
May would get demolished. I don't care what anybody says. May would get demolished.
I mean, I'm not saying that Nasir Little is going to keep up with them all game, but there has. I mean, they played in the. I know this is the McDonald's All American game.
I thought we were talking about tomorrow. Right?
I know, but I'm saying this is the past where they've shown. They've played 1-on-1 before. Nasir Little does have the capability of stopping Zion. I know that sounds crazy. Who could stop Zion? I know he's God, basically. But Nasir Little did stop him in the McDonald's All American game and could stop him. I'm not saying for the whole game, but could get some stops on Zion. But you also kind of got to hope that Duke is having an off night on shooting, too.
Well, you said trap. Are you talking about the same trap that you ran against Michigan? Because I remember watching that game, and multiple trap attempts resulted in easy layups. When you try and trap, it's just a simple two-ball trap up the corner. When you try and do that on a Hall of Fame coach, you don't think they know how to break a simple two trap?
I didn't say to do it the whole game. I said to do it every now and then.
And that's what they did against Michigan. And that's what they did against Michigan, and it gave them wide open layups.
And also in that game against Michigan, I mean, you know, when you're trying to trap somebody, you can't have them just being able to sprint past you. And I feel like that's what Duke would be able to, I mean, they're more athletic and they're quicker and they can get up the floor faster than the Carolina's players.
Yeah.
And I think if...
playing the Monstars, for sure.
If... I think Duke should run about the same offense that Michigan ran. I mean, they take their big guy and he literally goes up to the three-point line every play in ball screens. And Carolina couldn't do nothing with it. I mean, they have a really good big guy, Michigan does, but I would do the same thing with Zion. If you do that, you have a pick and roll with Trey Jones, who is awesome with the ball. And for Duke, you just choose your own glory right there. You dish it, pick and roll, kicking out for threes.
I would play the Michigan game.
I've said that multiple times.
If Michigan is a whole lot better shooting team than Duke, and it just depends on how Duke's shooting that game. If they're shooting lights out, then it's going to be a tough nut for Carolina. But if they're not, then, you know, who
but,
see.
But what I'm arguing is if they do run that offense, is I will take my chances with a wide-open three from any other starting
five. You give Cam Reddish a wide open three.
That's what I'm saying.
He's going to hit it. Well,
you're saying that Duke don't have a good three-point shooting team.
I'm not saying that.
Duke.
I'm saying Michigan's really, like, they're one of the best in the country.
RJ is shooting about 30%.
30? He's shooting close to 40. He's shooting 37%. I mean,
Cam Reddish has been off, and he's still shooting.
He's still shooting 37%. Jack White shooting...
Trey Jones is more than capable of hitting three-point shots. But if like G-Stash said, you run that up ball screen right there with Zion, what has Trey Jones done when he's got to the elbow all year? A little floater, and he's hit it about 20 out of 25 times. That's a very, very good high percentage shot for Deke. I mean, when he gets in the lane, it is over.
And you don't even have to do the ball screen. You can switch it up and just do a screen between two guys and have Zion catching at the free throw line. Then what are you going to do? That's one step for Zion. Foul. I mean, like you said, like I said earlier, I think Carolina can win. If they shoot good, they can win really easily. Yeah. I think they really can. I mean, threes against twos all day, the way Duke's been sort of struggling with threes, they can definitely win. But I think the first game at Duke will pull it out. But since we're talking about neutral court, I might give Carolina the favor, but what it comes down to them is shooting the ball.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's UNC Duke. I mean, even
on a neutral, even it's not the same.
I know, but, I mean, you've seen it in ACC tournament. The intensity's still there, even though they're
when you're
not
playing for a ship, yes, it's going to
be
there.
Well, they weren't playing. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the actual championship game. That was the semifinal.
Get to play for a ship.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is,
you know, neither of them wanted to lose that game.
Well, yeah, but it's UNC and Duke. I mean, it's the best rivalry, not in just college basketball, in sports.
I'd argue in sports, yeah.
I mean, this
Duke wins by that game by double digits.
Okay.
I've got Duke. My final prediction for a neutral court game, Duke-Carolina, I've got Duke probably winning by about 5 points, but if Carolina shoots a better percentage from three or makes two or three more threes than Duke, I could easily see Carolina winning that game by 5 points. It's a very close matchup, but I've got Duke winning by five just because I feel like They have more talent, and their athleticism will allow them to stretch Carolina out and wear them out.
I'll have UNC winning 92-88.
High scoring game.
About
average for them. I mean,
both teams are averaging in the 90s for scoring, and we've seen the last couple of years there's not much defense present in the games until the last couple
of
minutes.
Well, each of the teams are going to get their own.
A lot of people have talked about Duke's defense this year, that the D is back in Duke. So, I mean, it would be interesting to see how they did play in the Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, they did give up around 90 to Gonzaga, who just gave up 103 to...
It was the same thing.
But you're talking about defense.
I mean, the same game. I mean, y'all gave up 90.
Yeah. I know. I'm saying it would be a high scoring game.
All right. So we got me, BK, saying that Duke would probably win by about 5. We've got Austin with UNC winning by 4. Brad, what would be your final prediction of that game?
Duke by 10 at least.
Duke by double digits. And Grayson,
I would say.
We heard you going back and forth on that.
I know. I would say Carolina. By 7.
Wow.
That's coming from a Duke.
That's coming from a Duke.
The only reason I say is because...
you don't know if they're going to shoot, kid.
I know.
You're betting your money that they're going to shoot?
But I'm betting my money on what I've seen this year. I'm betting my money on...
Right now, you think Carolina's
better. Listen. On a neutral side, I'm betting my money on Carolina hitting enough threes and Carolina being smart enough...
And Cam shooting that. If
you're any team,
you attack.
You have to get them in foul trouble because, I mean, they do have solid bench players like Jack White and Delorier, but
Delorier's not Delorier.
Delorier's
garbage.
Delorier's offensive liability.
Yeah. Which start ever made.
And
oh my god!
But what I'm saying is, if you get Duke in foul trouble, you got a chance.
Yeah, and I would even say not just foul trouble, but just. Pounding it inside. I mean, the recipe for Carolina's success really against Duke, I felt like in previous years, is just having, doing above average and 3-point shooting, but really just controlling the boards.
Rebounding.
I mean, that's what they did against Gonzaga. Doubled their rebounds, won by double digits. I mean, Carolina almost always wins the rebounding advantage over Duke.
As Jay Billis says, UNC's best offense is a missed shot.
That's right. I mean, 23 second chance points.
Said the same thing about Duke with Marvin Bagley, though. So, I mean, you can take Jay Billis with a grain of salt.
All right, so we wrap this up with a 2-2 push on the Carolina-Duke hypothetical neutral court game, which is, I thought it would be 3-1. Grayson kind of switched on us,
I tell you. Classic Duke fan.
Yeah. All right, but wrapping up that, let's get to power rankings of the Blue Bloods of Duke, Kansas, UNC, and Kentucky. Let's see, we'll start it off with Austin.
All right. Even though we just did the UNC and Duke kind of matchup and I gave the edge to Duke or UNC, I would say that my number one team would be Kansas, just based on them being undefeated, and they've beaten Tennessee, Villanova, and Michigan State, who are all top 25 teams. Just, based on them going undefeated. I'd have
trash.
Duke at 2 just because they're...
Isn't Furman undefeated right now?
Yeah, but...
Furman and Kansas are undefeated. Has Furman played
They
beat
Tennessee.
Villanova. They beat Villanova, who you just used as a reference.
At
Villanova.
And Tennessee.
At Villanova.
And Tennessee and Michigan State.
Finish your title.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me talk, Dukey.
Michigan State was at that neutral.
Like I said, Duke at 2, just based on their, they beat
body of work.
Yeah. Has some good wins against Kentucky and Auburn. And then UNC at 3 just because they're a couple lapses, but they beat Gonzaga last night, which helps. And then I put Kentucky at 4, who got blasted to start of the year and had a tough loss against Seton Hall. And, that's my top. It's my 4.
All right, what do you have, Brad? How do you have them lining up?
I got Duke 1, Kansas 2, Carolina 3, and Kentucky 4. I mean, nobody's more talented than Duke. Does that mean that they're the best? No, it's all about how they show up.
Oh, yeah, that'd be
good. Kansas is number 2 just because, I mean, Kansas has played some good teams. Kansas has a tendency to choke. number 3 is like Carolina. They beat Gonzaga last night. Great win. And then 4, Kentucky has yet to impress me and does not have a significant win.
All right, what do you think, G-Stash?
G-Stash.
How you got your four lining up?
I'd have to say I'm going to go number one, Duke, as well, even though I said Carolina would beat Duke on neutral site.
Going back on y'all's word.
I put Kansas 2, Carolina 3, Kentucky 4. I think Duke, when they show up, they can beat Carolina on a neutral site. I think they can beat anybody. And that's all I got.
Why would you say that Duke is ahead of Kansas? If we're talking about, like, if you were an AP top 25 voter.
Why would you rate Duke better than
Kansas? Why would you put...
Duke is the more talented team.
We're not talking about talent here. We're talking about based on their wins and resume.
Top 25 most talented teams. AP voters don't give anything about a resume. It's about those talented teams.
I mean, if it's about that, then Duke could be number one right now over Kansas.
They almost got as many first place votes as Kansas did.
Almost doesn't cut it.
I'm just saying.
They have played a little bit more competition than Kansas.
Yeah.
This year they have.
Started off with Kentucky, played Auburn, and played Gonzaga.
All of us have Kentucky as our number four team. They were the number two team at the beginning of the year. They played Auburn number 8. They're getting ready to play Texas Tech number 11.
And they've played Gonzaga.
All right.
Well, and they've lost one of those.
Yep. Kansas. And your Car Heels have lost to the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah.
But.
Who you said they would beat Duke by 7 on a neutral court.
Who?
You.
Yeah. Yeah. But okay. What I'm saying is I'm bringing in different factors. Yeah.
Oh, so
but
it's
what
awesome.
I'm saying is
beating Villanova this year is a quality win.
You said right Shout now. Shout out to Furman. I was honest with what I would think, but I said I will just go ahead and say this. If Carolina plays their best and Duke plays their best, Duke's going to win.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just basing my rankings off.
You know what I mean?
They're
Go ahead, BK. What's your top four?
All right, my top four. I made an adjustment mid table. I've got my power rankings going Duke at number one, just because
a follower, folks.
I mean, I had that before anybody said anything. Duke just has. I mean, they're my favorite team, and when you watch them, it's hard to go against RJ Barrett. Especially Zion and Trey.
Fun to watch. If you're a basketball fan, they're just fun to watch.
They are fun to watch. I'm trying to talk about my segment. Thanks, though. And so, I mean, you got Trey Jones and Zion out there who I feel like both of them look like veterans. I mean, I feel out on the court when you watch them, they look like veterans. And at two, I had Kansas, but I flipped. I put UNC at two. They really impressed me against Gonzaga. I mean, Josh Perkins didn't have a good game. He finished with 20, but Kobe White really threw him out of his element. I feel like he just wasn't shooting the ball well. He had silly turnovers, and I feel like the UNC pressure really caused that. And Cam Johnson, he really had a big coming out game. I mean, 6 of 7 from 3. He looked really good. And you just got to look at UNC as a team. You can never count them out. So I've got them above Kansas. And that's who I have at 3, Kansas. And I know a lot of people probably think I'm crazy for saying that, but Kansas has been good, but their 2 tandem of Vic and Lawson, that's only 2. And, I mean, you look at some of their wins, they had to go to overtime against Tennessee, had to go to overtime against Stanford, only beat New Mexico State by 3, only beat Villanova, who lost to Furman, by 3.
Villanova by 3.
I mean, that's... They have not showed me the consistency or killer instinct
to put away a team. They're barely beating mediocre teams.
They are barely winning against mediocre teams. And, I mean, you say a win's a win.
How comfortable are you walking out of your own building barely beating
Stanford?
I mean, how comfortable are you?
I mean, they were down Azubuike and Silvio De Sousa, two of their...
Next man up?
Well, they got the job done, obviously. 3 points. I mean, they're playing a Villanova team who was, I mean, probably pretty mad losing a pin at the Palestra.
Considering they lost a pin, I think that shows the quality of the Villanova team.
Phil Booth Furman. At 30.
Okay, Furman, you can come 29. Out as pissed off as you want.
Yeah.
That don't mean you're going to all of a sudden turn into RJ Barrett when you're Phil Booth.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah.
Two for positions, but whatever.
Austin, I don't know what you're saying, but anyways.
So you would take Phil Booth over... Trey Jones.
So you would take Phil Booth over Trey Jones?
You can say yes or no. Answer the question.
I mean,
you. Which one would you take?
If you say take Phil Booth,
you're
You're just trying to piss us off.
You're off the
I'd pod. Probably take Phil Booth. You're off the pod. Nah, I don't know. I mean, they're both really good players. Phil Booth, a four-year senior who's won two national championships. So.
With a lot of
rounds. So you think beating, having to go to overtime and get a game-tying three just to get to overtime on your own court as the number one team in the nation is good enough? You think that's good enough?
I put them at one because they won the game.
I'm not.
50 years from
that's
now.
Just me.
He put them at one because he couldn't stand to put Duke at one. Yeah, that's exactly the real truth.
They're undefeated, and they beat Tennessee.
Austin, it's
who beat
okay.
Gonzaga,
I put Duke. Carolina winning on the neutral site. You can put Duke at one.
And I've got.
Agree with you.
To finish off my. I didn't say you had to, but I'm telling you my point. And just to finish it up, I've got Kentucky. I think we all had Kentucky at four. I mean. I feel like they're a sleeper team at this point because, you know, some people have wrote them off as freshmen who can't get it done. But Keldon Johnson, he's a man.
Next Saturday will say a lot.
Yeah, he's a man out there. Keldon Johnson, he can put the ball in the hoop. And, I mean, P.J. Washington down there in the post, he's a good player. He's a good do-it-all glue guy kind of.
I just know we're all going to go bizarre if Kentucky beats Carolina next weekend. Like, what are we going to say?
Well, and we're acting like Kentucky still can't win the SEC because they can. I mean, yeah. They can, but I don't think they will this year, but they can.
They can very well beat Carolina next Saturday. It's depending on which team shows up.
Yeah.
I got Carolina in that game.
Well, speaking of that, this is the end of this pod, but next week, next Friday, we will be previewing the UNC-Kentucky game, two of our blue bloods. And we'll be recapping the Duke versus Texas Tech game and much more. Thank you and subscribe.